We have our first two UEFA Champions League quarter-finalists. Porto stun Juventus in Turin after extra time.
Sergio Oliveira strikes it low, and in! Incredible! Sergio Oliveira may well have won it for Porto!
While Borussia Dortmund hold on to progress against Sevilla.
It's take two from the spot, and Haaland goes the same way, and he puts it into the bottom corner. And Borussia Dortmund have doubled their lead.
What a night. We'll bring you the best analysis and reaction from both encounters right here on the UEFA Champions League podcast. Welcome along, I'm Rob Daly, and with me to reflect on tonight's two round of 16 second legs are commentators John Bradley and Mark Scott, along with European football expert Andy Brassel. Andy, our first two quarter-finalists have been confirmed.
And could it have been any more dramatic? I'm not sure if it could have been, Rob, with Sevilla mounting a late comeback at Dortmund, it not being quite enough, and Porto pulling out something absolutely spectacular in Turin.
Time for our three-word match reports. Mark Scott on Juve Porto. Your report, Mark.
Plucky Porto, because they upset the odds given the match situation they were in. Down to 10 men early in the second half. It looked as though it was only going to be one result, but they fought, and they got a deserved result in the end.
Love it. And John Bradley, watch Dortmund versus Sevilla. John?
This one speaks for itself. Erling's Mr. Incredible.
He really is. More on him very shortly, but let's start at the Juventus Stadium where Juve took on Porto. Remember, it was 2-1 to the Portuguese side after the first leg. Could Juve turn things around? Mark Scott describes the action.
Juve have got men back now, but there's a challenge and it's a penalty. Taremi went down, Bjorn Kuipers took a long look at it, had a thought and then decided that is a penalty. Sergio Oliveira, long, straight run up, takes the penalty and scores. Low into the bottom corner. It's an authoritative strike and it's a big goal for Porto, who lead 1-0 at Juventus in the second leg and now hold a 3-1 advantage on aggregate. Into the feet of Demiral and towards Chieta, whose header is in. And he scores his third goal across the tie and has brought Juve back level on aggregate. Probably about 30 metres out, left of centre, three men in the Juve wall. Sergio Oliveira strikes it low and in! Incredible! Sergio Oliveira may well have won it for Porto. One of the great UEFA Champions League victories could be panning out in Turin. In comes the corner, there's the header, it's in! I do not believe it, Juventus are back in this. Rabiot's header from the corner is in. It's 4-4 on aggregate, and it's all over. Porto have done it. A sensational success for Sergio Conceição's side.
A remarkable achievement for the 10 men in Turin. They did it. Porto are through to the last day of the UEFA Champions League. Mark and Andy with me now. Mark, let's start with Porto. How did they do it?
It's a good question. they showed incredible heart and also incredible bravery, because you would have thought that given the situation, it would just be low block, men behind the ball, clear it long, try and see it out. But they had the faith and the belief in their abilities to actually try and take the game to Juventus and score some more goals rather than just trying to see it out. So you have to give them credit for not only just remarkable levels of fitness and discipline and endurance and strength, but also, you know, the bravery in their game to actually try and take the game to Juventus despite being down 2-10 men.
I think that's it, isn't it, Mark? It was almost two or three different performances in one, wasn't it? The fact that they played on the front foot from the start as they promised they would, that they tried to take the opportunities early on, and it looked like not taking some more of those chances that they created would cost them. And then, after those body blows, one after another in the first 20 minutes of the second half, they managed to first hang on, then reset themselves and find a way to give themselves the opportunity to score that goal. Okay, they got a little bit of luck with the way it went through the wall and the way the free kick squirmed through Szczesny as well, who, as I said in commentary, I thought was very, very unlucky with it because he didn't see it until very late. But they gave everything. And still, on the touchline at the end, Sergio Conceição was asking for more. And still, as we speak, they are out there, the whole Porto squad, on the pitch at the Allianz Arena with Coach Conceição giving them the talk.
Superb celebration to full-time from Porto for Sergio Oliveira tonight. And the two goals, of course, the penalty and the free kick. Probably worth recapping a little bit of his story to find himself in the Champions League, knocking out Juve.
Yes, and was a Porto boy. Came up and had to fight really hard to get in the team. Then he went away on loan to PAOK, and it looked as if it was the end of his Porto career. Won the title there in the Greek Super League, and then came back to become a central figure. He's only not the captain because they've still got Pepe, and what a brilliant performance it was by the old Stadio this evening. But for him to score those two goals, he scored a lot of important goals for Porto this season, but none more important than those.
I certainly didn't think, Mark, when they went down to 10 men, it was one of those where you just think, here we go. You know, Juve are gonna turn this around. And there was an unbelievable piece of drama at the end when Rabiot thumped in that header again. Then I started to think, well, maybe they are going to do this eventually.
Yeah, I mean, you know, and as well that at the start of the second half, Juventus were actually playing quite well. It was a bit of a disjointed performance from them generally. They never really got going across either leg of the tie. And the weird thing is that, you know, they actually had the better of it quite soon after the sending off. But then they tailed off. And you'd expect it to be the other way, that, you know, Porto might be OK for the first 10, 15 minutes after the dismissal, but then the man disadvantage would start to tell and Juventus would make more and more advantage of it. But it was the reverse, really. They enjoyed a decent period at the start of the second half, which encompassed the sending off, but then tailed off and Porto grew in strength and belief. It was very strange to watch actually pan out.
And Ronaldo, obviously, we didn't see him have the decisive impact in a tie like this. We have, on occasions, we have seen so often. But tonight, Mark, Federico Chiesa, I mean, what a performance from him with his two goals.
Yeah, and he could have had a hat-trick, hit the post as well, had it not been for a terrific piece of defensive work from Pepe, who, as Andy was mentioning, had a superb game. Really seemed to relish this type of occasion. But he was the man that made them tick. And, you know, they really pinpointed a weakness for Porto in the second half of the diagonal balls over the top. And he was the main beneficiary of that. And, you know, it looked like he was going to be the man who was going to decide it for them. But again, a bit like all of the Juventus players, just seemed to tail off and couldn't last the course.
Yes, and you know, you think of Juventus as being such an incredibly fit side, but in the end, it was survival of the fittest, wasn't it? And Porto were able to physically find another level that didn't seem possible. And when you think of the way that Juventus have closed so many games out late, not just in the current season, but you know, you go back to the times of Allegri, Sarri, Conte. You know, it's incredible how many teams they've managed to do that to. But you do just wonder, with Federico Chiesa emerging, and yes, he had a great start to the second half, but couldn't really impose himself in the first half. They didn't manage to get Ronaldo in the game enough. They didn't give him the opportunities to take them through. You just wonder if there's a slight imbalance that they need to correct with some of these younger players coming into the team.
And also, Andy, I would say, do you not think that Sergio Conceição's substitutes worked perfectly?
They did.
All the
yeah.
players he brought on had a really big impact. And I think that maybe if you look at the Juve side of it, could Kulusevski have been brought on a bit earlier on? Because he did have an impact, but didn't have enough time to really make a massive impact.
Yeah, I think that's absolutely right. And there's plenty for Pirlo to think about. But of course, because he's such a huge name in European football, it's easy to forget that he's a first-year coach dealing with absolutely huge expectations. Whereas Sergio Conceição has not only consistently produced for Porto domestically, but he's done it in the Champions League as well.
It's worth noting as well that Juve are out in the round of 16 for the second season running after their elimination in not dissimilar fashion, actually, to Lyon last season. Andy, how much, we'll get on to what this means for Porto, a club that has great European Cup history, but what will elimination at this stage mean to Juventus, who, of course, are currently third in Serie A off the pace set by Inter.
I think there will be understanding for Andrea Pirlo, who, as we said, is learning on the job. And it is a squad that's in transition. I think you look at the way they played tonight, and he had every right to expect a little bit more of his players in terms of intensity, certainly in the first half of the game. But I think Pirlo is someone who we think of as associated with a certain style of football. I think what he's always made clear this season is that he's someone who believes in Juventus style of football, which means just winning. And that means that he's going to have to change things to get them in the place where he wants them to be.
And Andy, you're closely associated with Portuguese football. What would this mean to Porto to eliminate Juve here?
It's absolutely huge. And, you know, I wonder if they thought after that last 10 minutes in the first leg at the Dragão, when Chiesa again made an impact, scored an away goal for Juventus, I wonder if they thought that their chance had gone. But Sergio Conceição never let them believe that. He's such a magnetic character, and it's just an incredible, incredible achievement for them.
I saw Vitor Baia before the game, Rob, talk about how they were thinking back to the victory at Old Trafford under Jose Mourinho, yeah. And said that they felt that they could produce another sort of headline-grabbing result this evening. Well, certainly done that.
3-2 defeat tonight, but they go through on away goals. 4-4 on aggregate between Juve and Porto. Porto into the last eight. The other round of 16 second leg ties saw Borussia Dortmund host Sevilla. The German side 3-2 up from the first leg in Spain. John Bradley, watch this one.
That's nicely done, and it's on towards Marco Roche, who's in. Haaland's there! Would you believe it? They haven't had a chance, they haven't had a shot until now, and it falls to the man who always scores, Erling Haaland, with the tap-in from 6 yards out. It's Haaland again, who tries to bully his way through, and he does, and he scores again! Juricek is at his monitor right now. There's a coming together inside the penalty area between Fernando and Erling Haaland. Now, Juricek comes away from his monitor, makes the TV monitor sign, and it looks very much at the moment as though we may well have a penalty here and no goal. It's a left-footed run-up. It's an aggressive run-up, and it's saved by the goalkeeper. Haaland on the follow-up is denied once again by a marvellous stop by Bono. But the goalkeeper has taken a huge step off his line prior to the kick being taken. And after being checked on VAR, we are to have a retake. It's take two from the spot, and Haaland goes the same way. And he puts it into the bottom corner, and Borussia Dortmund have doubled their lead. We may well have a penalty here, Rob, because Juricek has just penalised Emre Can for a foul on Luke de Jong, and maybe this one isn't over. So it's El Nesyri with his left foot, 6 or 7 paces to run up, and slashes the ball in off the underside of the crossbar and breathes life into Sevilla. It's Dortmund 2, Sevilla 1, 5-3 on aggregate. Lovely cross by Rakitic, and they jump, and it's a brilliant header into the top corner of the net, and it's El Nesyri. He was 4 metres out and sends a bullet into the top corner, and there's a minute left and Sevilla need one goal.
John Bradley on commentary, and he joins Andy and myself now.
It all sounds so simple, eh?
It really does. I mean, so complex, so many mad moments, the penalties, the disallowed goals, the retakes. Great tie though, John.
Yeah, the first goal coming was, you know, self-inflicted damage really by Sevilla after dominating the first half, but not really damaging Dortmund defensively. And then giving the ball away inside their own half, Marco Reus pulling the ball back and Erling Haaland on hand to score his 19th UEFA Champions League goal. And at half-time we thought, well, there you go, it's a 4-2 lead. If Sevilla score the first goal in the second half, we may have something, you know, interesting to talk about. As it was, little did we know what would lie ahead. And we had the goal scored by Haaland. He bullied his way into the penalty area after running from halfway, collided with Fernando, and then managed to turn the ball home from a really tight angle. That goal was disallowed for a foul on Fernando. Then what we had was a review of an earlier cross into the penalty area where Jules Koundé had got a little grab of Haaland's shirt. It was about 60 seconds before the actual goal had been scored. It was reviewed by Junit Xhakir with the help, of course, of Massimiliano Irrati, who was on VAR tonight, and a penalty was given. It was saved brilliantly by Bono, who then saved the follow-up as well. And then there was an even better block as well from a third follow-up. Sevilla tried to break downfield. The attack broke down, and Junit Xhakir got the fateful noise in his ear from Massimiliano Irrati. The goalkeeper had come off his line. It needed to be retaken. Haaland made no mistake, and we thought that was that. The drama was over. Sevilla didn't give up, though. They threw absolutely everything at Borussia Dortmund in the last 15, 20 minutes. Got themselves a couple of goals, an Endaziri penalty, and then a brilliant header. And then they had a chance with the last kick of the game, and which, I mean, it was unfathomable. Two or three players had a touch in the penalty area, none had a shot at goal, and it ended in the arms of Marvin Hitz, and Borussia Dortmund survived. It was a scary finish for them in a game that it shouldn't have been, but amazing drama, an amazing night, and this stadium has seen plenty of them down the years, and this is another to add to the stories.
Yeah, shame there were not fans in to witness it. Let's hear from the man who scored four of Dortmund's five goals across the tie, that man, Erling Haaland.
Yeah, we knew that they were going to come very hard then. But when we scored the goal, they needed to have two or three, I don't remember. But then we scored, and 1-0 to halftime, that was very good. So a nice goal.
OK, John, let's have some of the numbers, shall we, for Erling Haaland, who is doing things we have never seen before in the European Cup or Champions League.
Erling Haaland is the youngest ever player to score in six consecutive Champions League appearances at the age of 20 years and 231 days. That's the first one. Erling Haaland has now scored a brace or more in each of his last four Champions League appearances. He's the first player to score two-plus goals in four consecutive games in the competition. And the last one, and perhaps the most impressive one, is that he's now scored 20 goals in 14 UEFA Champions League appearances. It's the quickest a player has ever reached 20 goals in the competition, and it's 10 fewer than the nearest man to him, the previous record holder, who was Harry Kane of Tottenham, who took a fantastic 24 games. But this boy is incredible. The start he has had to his senior football career, both at league level and now, of course, at European level, playing in the best competition in world football, and he has just taken it by storm. And, you know, on a night when Cristiano Ronaldo departs the competition and we could well be saying goodbye to Lionel Messi in the round of 16, it is the round of the passing of the torch to Erling Haaland and to Kylian Mbappe, who of course was simply unstoppable in the first leg of Paris's game with Barcelona.
Ronaldo took 56 games to get to 20 goals. Messi took 40. Mbappe took 40. Haaland 14. Let's hear from Dortmund's head coach, Edin Terzic.
Feels quite cool. So we are very happy. We are delighted with the performance, and we are very proud of the boys. So in both games, we fight till the end, and I think we deserve. It's not usual that Borussia Dortmund is under the top eight teams in Europe, and we are very proud that we did it.
And he should be proud. First quarterfinal in 4 years. And Andy, for Edin Terzic, who's leaving at the end of the season, of course, only as head coach. He's only interim head coach for now. This is some. I mean, he could do something incredible with Borussia Dortmund.
That's it. He could end up with two trophies, Rob. Imagine the Champions League and the DFB Pokal, the German Cup, at the end of the season. They're in the semi-finals of that with second-tier opposition to face in the last four. It could be something pretty spectacular. Of course, they have to refocus and make sure they finish in the top four in the Bundesliga as well. But Terzic, having been given a really tough job, is doing something really cool, as he would put it.
Rob, I think the one thing we've got to say is they know they're going to have to score goals, because defensively, and they've got a few injuries there, and you know the goalkeepers aren't having great seasons as well. They know they're going to have to score a lot of goals, but they've got a man who's scoring a lot of goals, so it could be a lot of fun watching them in the quarterfinals.
A brilliant drama tonight in the UEFA Champions League. A reminder, it is Dortmund and Porto through. Porto with their defender Malang Sarr on loan from Chelsea. Let's hear from him now.
We knew that it would be really difficult to come here and play, but we knew that we had the possibility to win and even score one goal or two. And I think we always believe, always winning, always fighting, and that's the main thing. That's the main thing. Always thinking with a positive mind, and then just play and fight.
And they certainly did that. Okay, let's get man of the matches from tonight's games. Mark Scott, starting with you, Juve Porto.
It's a tough, tough question, but I'm probably going to go with Sergio Oliveira.
Ah, it's got to be, isn't it? Yeah. Surely. Okay, John Bradley.
Don't even waste your time asking.
the main man, of course. Andy, can you pick out anyone else from tonight's incredible drama in the UEFA Champions League?
Jesus Corona played about five different positions and never stopped running.
Okay. Shout for Pepe as well.
Oh, yes, of course. Yeah. We'll have that. We'll have that. Okay, gents, thank you very much for your company. A quick reminder of tomorrow night's round of 16 matches. Paris Saint-Germain take on Barcelona 4-1 up from that first leg at Barca. Of course, no Neymar for Paris Saint-Germain, while Barcelona are without Piqué and Felipe Coutinho. We have full match commentary for you of that game. And then, of course, we have regular updates from Budapest. Liverpool and Leipzig do battle there again. Liverpool, the home side for that one. They are 2-0 up from the first leg 3 weeks ago, but of course have lost six home matches in a row. Let's see if Liverpool can see that one out to maintain their place in the UEFA Champions League and reach the quarterfinals. A quick reminder of how tonight's drama has unfolded. Juventus beating Porto by 3-2. It finishes 4-4 on aggregate with Porto win on away goals. Borussia Dortmund 2, Sevilla 2 at the BVB Stadion, but a 5-4 aggregate win inspired by Erling Haaland has seen Dortmund into the last eight. We'll be back on Wednesday the 10th of March from 8 p.m. CET, and don't forget to download our podcast shortly after every match night via your favourite podcast provider. But for now, from me and the rest of the UEFA Champions League Matchday Live team, it's goodbye.
You've been listening to UEFA Champions League Matchday Live.